So how many of you now are experts on Winter Olympics? There we go. All right. I like your attitude. I usually don't watch the luge, except at the Olympic time. And I always think, oh, golly, that would be so fun to go 80 miles an hour not being able to see down the track. And I would probably do that, but I'd probably end up with broken arms and legs. But I would be crazy enough to still try to do that. But snowboarding. You know, I used to be a pretty good skier, I would say, in my day. But I tried snowboarding, and it's just a different balance, and I just never got the hang of it. And I felt embarrassed as people were laughing at me from the ski lift, and it's like, I've got too much of an ego, I guess. But all these different things that you see in the Winter Olympics. You know, I thought about having one of those curling stones this morning, but I couldn't find one. And in youth before, we have used frozen turkeys to slide them on but I didn't do that either. You know, some of these, I don't even fully know the rules, even watching them, and it's like, well, what is that? How does that really work? You know, we could ask the same about life, it seems to me, is sometimes I think I know the rules and life gets complicated. In the scripture that was read from 2 Corinthians, we can read into it that I know enough about the church in Corinth that it was a church that Paul was trying to minister to, and he had shared the gospel with them, and they didn't get it. They didn't respond to it very well, or they didn't live it out is a better way to say it. And so this is the second letter that he's writing back to this church, and he's talking about the importance of the light that makes a difference in your world. Let your light shine is part of what Paul is talking about here. But I'll ask the question, when life gets you down, what do you do? We have a choice there, don't we? You know, when the statement is, when life gives you lemons, what do? You make lemonade. Okay, well, that's... But sometimes, even in lemonade, I like a little sugar in it, too. How about you? Not really. But when life gets you down, we have a choice. I like to state that in that choice, we can either become bitter or we can become better. And so if our choice, I think we realize that our choice should be we want to become better, but it's not so easy, quite honestly, is it? Even sharing the gospel, Paul was persecuted. Many of those first century Christians were persecuted. So becoming a Christian wasn't easy. It isn't easy today. So why do it? Because God desires for us to share his light into the darkness. For some reason or another, he uses imperfect vessels to try to shine his light in wherever we go. And so if that's truly God's mission for us, or part of his mission for us, then we have to ask the question, at least to ourselves, Lord, how am I doing? How are we doing as a church? How are we doing as scouts? How are we doing in the different things that we're connected with in our community? Big questions. In the Christmas and Advent season, we celebrated the theme, Angels Among Us. And those are ministries and people that are touching our community in different ways. There are heavenly angels that the scripture talks about, but then we wanted to concentrate or think about earthly angels, so to speak. Not people that become angels, but in the sense that people that commit themselves to doing good in our community or in the lives of others. And that's why we talk about angels among us. The scouting program, you guys, you gals, are angels among us, among this community. You do so many good things. And we want to thank you. You are truly people that go above and beyond in so many different ways. And that's why we call you angels among us this morning. But I want to touch just for a moment on someone that you may know by name, but you may not. His name is John Huntsman Sr., and his funeral was yesterday. That's a picture of him a few years back. His latest book was Barefoot to Billionaire. He was born on an Indian reservation in Idaho. He was not an Indian, but his father was a teacher that taught on that reservation. And they were literally so poor that their walls were made out of cardboard, and they had to replace the cardboard regularly. They were very poor. And growing up, he often didn't have proper shoes and often had to go barefoot. And if you think about Idaho, especially this time of year, you want to make sure you not only just have shoes, that you've got heavy boots. And so here's a man that grew up in a poor family. But they eventually moved from Idaho. His father got a master's degree and a PhD in education and became the superintendent of schools in the LA school district. But John Huntsman, Sr., he knew what it was to have little. And if you know anything about his life, he knew what to do when he had much. And I had Chris, our son, bring this morning. John Huntsman was a navigator in the Navy. And he would often look at the stars and metaphorically say, you've got to know the right direction. You can look at the stars, concentrate on the stars. And as a navigator, that was a literal thing, but then he meant it metaphorically as well. Shoot for the stars, maybe is a better way to say it, looking at his book. But out of the Navy, he was a young man starting a career, and he worked for a company that packaged eggs. And the containers were harder than the styrofoam ones, and they were losing a lot of eggs to being cracked. And he'd heard about the styrofoam new products and trying to figure out what they might do. And so he went up in the echelon of this company, and he developed these containers. All of us have probably had these in our refrigerator or purchased, but he became famous and made his billions literally by creating the clamshell styrofoam containers for the Big Mac. You know, I've heard that the difference between a millionaire becoming a millionaire and becoming a billionaire is that a millionaire finds something that everybody might want wants, but a billionaire has figured out something that everybody will use regularly for a long, long, perhaps the rest of their lives. John Huntsman, being a person that knew chemistry, knew these kind of things, and knew that those containers could allow a warm sandwich, a hamburger, to be warmer longer, and so he developed this country, or company rather. He was a man that at the latter end of his life, he owned 80 different companies, I'll get it right. He owned 80 different companies around the world. He was a very wealthy businessman. But that wasn't who he really was. Before he died, he said, "I want to die broke." And that was his goal, to give away all that he had. For what we know is John Huntsman Sr. is one of the great assets of who he was and his life was that he was a man of integrity. He was a man that he could tell the truth and told the truth and was not ashamed to tell the truth. He was part of the Nixon administration when all that shenanigans of Watergate happened, and there was no question that John Huntsman Sr. was not part of the cover-up. No one even questioned him because they knew his character. He would never have been a part of something like that. He was a man who strived to be the light in wherever he was, God's light in every conversation, in every business meeting, every interaction with other human beings. He was a very wealthy man. At the same time, he treated everyone with respect and honor. And I share all this because here's someone that lived his faith. He was a man of faith, and he was not ashamed to share it and live it out. When talking about such things, about what it meant to live his faith, he challenged other business people and people of means. He challenged everyone. He said, "How much money is enough?" Because he'd had that own question within his own life. How much is enough? Because he said, you have to set a goal, because if you don't set a goal, you will never have enough. You will always be going for more. And he'd set that goal within his own heart and in his own mind. And so we know John Huntsman Sr. as being one of the most charitable persons living in the United States. He gave away almost all of his wealth. But I look at his life, and having wealth, being a person of God, once again, his life was not easy in many respects. Because of his wealth, one of his sons was kidnapped and held for ransom. And while the son was returned, one of the people, the FBI agents that was trying to get him back, was injured in getting the son back. And so complications and challenges. He had a daughter die. And so the challenges of those things. He had cancer himself four times. And so being a person of means doesn't mean that you are immune from the issues of life. Being a man of God doesn't make you immune to those complications or challenges of life either. In the downturn of the economy in 2008, he wanted to make sure that all the charitable obligations that he had wanted his money to go to. He was afraid that with the economy and everything falling apart, that he mortgaged his house, he mortgaged all his cars, he mortgaged his airplane, all the things that had value. He mortgaged everything that he could to make sure that they were used as collateral, that all the charitable organizations and obligations that he dedicated himself to accomplishing, he wanted to make sure that they were taken care of, and he didn't worry so much about his businesses. He taught so many people, so many businessmen, so many others of how to be charitable. What it means to give. Give monetarily, yes, but give of himself, of themselves. And so I share this testimony of someone that I didn't know personally, but somebody that made a difference in our country. His influence in many different ways has touched our lives, and we don't even realize it. One of his charitable opportunities or organizations was the Huntsman Cancer Center. And he said, we're just so close. We need to do all we can and give all we can. He said, we are going to overcome this thing, that six-letter word that scares the strongest of people. And so all these things said, John Huntsman, Senior would be considered an angel among us, so to speak, as well. But more than anything else, I think what I gleaned from reading his testimony and his biography and all these things, that he wasn't afraid to share his faith. He wasn't afraid to live his faith, no matter what people said. As Paul is telling us in that scripture, be the light wherever you are. Use the gifts and talents that you have to allow God's light to shine through you. That's why we have two candles on the altar always, as we understand the Holy Spirit is represented by the one. But then Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Take my light and go out and shine it brightly. You don't put it under a bushel basket, but you put it up on a lampstand so all might see it. And so once again, what has God put on your heart, inside of you, the drive, motivation? What is God doing? What does he plan to do in your life? Are you allowing God to mold you and shape you to be the people he wants you to be? And that's for our young folks, but it's for the rest of us in this room as well. Are you using the gifts and talents, those things that are unique to you, to make a difference? That's a huge question. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, so many times life gets complicated, to say the least. And when life gets complicated, I believe that often when we listen to your voice, you're encouraging us to learn something through that challenge or those challenges. Father, you have given us people such as John Huntsman Sr. to be an example, a witness of what you can do through an ordinary person. You can do the extraordinary if someone just gives themselves to you. And so, Lord, that message rings loud and clear within our hearts. Lord, I lift up these young men here today. I lift up their families. I lift up the ministries and gifts and talents that you've given these people. I lift up our congregation. I lift up all the congregations that are represented in this room today. All the churches around this community. Lord, we pray for your blessing, praying for your favor, praying for wisdom of how we move forward in the darkness of our world, and praying for these congregations. We pray for their leadership. We pray for their pastors. Praying, Lord, that you use all of these churches and ministries to make a difference, to touch people's lives. For we pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.